I have been explaining the context of our practice, and at the same time the meaning of rules and precepts. But for us, precepts, observation of precepts and practice of dzogchen is the same thing, you know, not different. As our everyday life and practice, dzogchen practice is one. After Sesshin, we have ordination ceremony for poor and lay. And then we have lay ordination ceremony for the students, all the students who has been practicing dzogchen, who has practiced dzogchen for 3 years before So that is why I explained the meaning of our practice, dzogchen practice, or way of our dzogchen practice, referring to the precepts and rules. Rules, which you may like, you may not like so much. But if you know what is the precept and what its rules, whether you like it or not, it is something with you always, even before you are born. You are born. So we say, if there is something, there's rules about it or in it. There's nothing without rules. That something there means that some rules is there. And that is rules. But before we know our true nature, or some truths or rules which is always with you, you think when someone explains how you exist, or what is your true nature, then that is Buddha's teaching, not mine. Nothing to do with me. If I am Buddhist, maybe we have to observe Buddha's precepts. But I'm not Buddhist, I'm not yet Buddhist. So, and that rules is nothing to do with me. But fortunately or unfortunately, if I go to Zen Center, you know, to listen to lecture. We have to, you know, behave like other students behave. That is rules. You may understand in that way. But where Zen Center exists, there is Zen Center's rules. As you have your true nature, and you know, to be ordained or to become a Buddhist Buddha's disciple is to receive precepts. But that precept, as I explained, actually, precepts you have, which you have essentially, which you essentially have, originally have. But before you know yourself, you know, through practice pretty long time, you don't know your true nature. When you, for instance, when you cook rice for the first time, there's rules how you, you know, cook rice. So according, you know, to the way or rules, you know, to cook rice, you can, you know, first you wash rice, you know, rice and soaked in water, maybe 4-5 hours, or wash it and take it in basket to get rid of water and keep in the basket, you know, for 5 hours, and adding percent more water to the rice and burn it. For maybe 20 minutes or more, then you will have a beautiful, you know, well cooked rice. So we know that, you know, if you practice that, then. If you observe precepts, you will be a good person, you know, like Buddha. But But if you have no experience of cooking rice, you know, and on, even though you know how to cook it, but when you cook it for the first time, if you dip it in after you wash it, is it to wait 2-3 hours before you cook? Oh, that's terrible. To wait 2-3 hours before we start to cook. And even though you start to cook, you know, you will worry, you know. Before you see well-cooked rice, and is it is the water enough? Maybe it may want more water, you know. Or then someone will tell you, no, don't add any more water, that is okay. No, water is not, I think water is not enough. So maybe I want to add some more water. Yes, no, yes, no. That kind of problem arises. It is same thing with the practice, you know. If you just practice doesn't, you know, according to the instruction, you will be a good person anyway. But because you have no experience of, you know, perfect practice, you worry, you know. That is, you know, you will have some doubt in your practice. And if your teacher says, don't move, continue practice, you know, then you may say, oh my, that's awful. That's the same thing. You feel uneasy before you see the well-cooked rice. When you make soup, you know, if you make soup according to the recipe, how much soy sauce or salt to put, you know, you will have a good soup. But, you know, you perhaps you want to make it sure. So you taste the soup. It will not be. We may need some more salt. Maybe better to put some more salt. Or you may think it is better to add soy sauce too. Little bit. Recipe says no soy sauce, but maybe better to put some soy sauce, and you will taste it. We need more salt. while you are testing, your tongue, you know, get accustomed to the salt. Adding salt, tasting a little bit more salt. And finally you will have terribly salty salt. That is, you know, excessive, practice, you know, to make a great effort in your practice is good, but you should, even though you make hard discipline, it is same thing, you know. Or sometimes you will your practice will be lost. So from the student's side, you know, it looks like rules. From the Buddha's side, teacher's side, you know, there is no problem. So for students, as I said, something which looks like rules or precepts or prohibitory rules is not Dogen Zenji says through Buddhism. At first, all the precepts looks like rules. But we must have it, you know. So ordination ceremony is to trust Buddha, or to trust Buddha's precepts, or to trust your teacher, even though you don't know exactly, you are not get through Buddha's practice. So it is necessary for you trusting Buddha and for some rules to you. That is necessary for you, for students. But Buddha may say, I am not forcing anything, you know. The rules you should observe is essentially something you have essentially, originally you have rules. That is what Buddha may say. We say, if you practice Zazen, there is Buddha nature, true nature. That is just expression of true nature. To observe, when you observe precepts, there is your true nature. But if someone, you know, see our practice, it looks like teacher is forcing some rules to many students. Yes, you know, bamboo sprout, you know, growing every day. Before bamboo become bamboo, you know, it will be a bamboo sprout 2 feet long or 3 feet long. It is growing very rapidly. But even though, you know, a bamboo sprout is completely, looks like completely different, very, very different from bamboo. But bamboo is, even though it looks like very different, you know, bamboo sprout is really bamboo. And when, before it become bamboo, it should be in that shape, you know. It cannot be big, perfect bamboo as you use. But if you don't see, you don't know bamboo through and through, you know, you may say, someone may say, you know, he is fooling us, you know, telling us this is bamboo, but this is not bamboo. Bamboo is more taller and with leaves, but this has no leaves. Moreover, it is covered by something, some funny thing. This cannot be a bamboo. But when it is young, you know, there must be some form, you know, even though, which is different from the mother bamboo. But no one actually forcing bamboo sprout in that way. You know. Naturally, it is in that way and growing in that way. But most people say, without understanding bamboo through and through, they have some idea of bamboo. So we have some idea about our way of life and human nature. But unfortunately, most of us do not know human nature through and through, like Buddha understood human nature. You may say Buddha's teaching is the teaching of human nature. He will be a man or sage who had enormous understanding, unusual understanding about our human nature. So that is why, you know, he set up that kind of precepts. So from Buddha's side, it is our true nature. But from our side, it looks like something funny, you know. Buddha treating us, you know, forcing us to be a bamboo sprout. You may understand in that way. That is the trouble. How we solve the this problem is for us, you know, to trust the precepts and to join his practice. And for Buddha, you know, acknowledging students' quality or true nature, which is same as Buddha, and help students to be a Buddha. That is, from Buddha's viewpoint, that is his way. Actually, our Zazen practice is called practice of practice one with enlightenment. It means that from Buddha it is enlightenment. From us, you know, it is practice. But actual practice is actually for us, it is training. For Buddha, it is expression of true nature. Actually, it is so. That is, you know, if we say our practice is expression of practice, you cannot agree with that. But if you say our practice is training to be a Buddha, Buddha will not agree with your understanding. And both is true. For you, it is training. That is true. For Buddha, it is expression of Buddha nature. And he accepts our practice, whether it is perfect or imperfect. For you, how to become a Zen student is even though it is not so, you should, you know, receive precepts, even though you cannot accept it. Through and through, trusting him, you should accept it. As you cook a rice according to the, you know, instruction. If you can do it just, you know, according to the instruction, that is best. But even though you are confused, you know, while you are cooking, it may be okay. But anyway, you should start our way, and you should try to trust our instruction, our precepts, rather than practice. This is, you know, actually to how you join our practice, why you receive our precepts. When I was working, I was working on a stone with students at the Sahara, you know. I asked him to hit, you know, a stone, to cut it, you know. The stone has naturally, originally some, you know, layer, you know, stripes or layer. I know if he continued to hit it, it will be, you know, broken in two pieces. But, you know, if because my student didn't, you know, haven't did not have the experience of cutting it, you know. So while he was, he became tired of hitting. But I was quite sure, you know, he will cut it. It is the same thing, you know. So the teacher knows, you know, it will be cut. But student doesn't know. So he doubts. But at last, you know, it was cut all of a sudden into parts. That is, you know, practice. It is not so easy, you know. It looks like almost impossible sometimes. But after long experience, you know, of various teachers, not only Dongen Zenji, you know, or Bodhidharma, you know, we know what kind of stone a human being is. So if we continue to practice in this way, he will be clearly, you know, cut. We know that. That is, you know, Buddhist way. And Buddha knows that. But even though you don't know it, if you continue to do it, it will work. So to, you know, to start to trust, you know, the way, Buddhist way, is why you join our order, actually. And we say, when you join the order and started to hit the stone, same place over and over again. And when it is break in two. We don't know, you know, why by the last one it was broken, or by the first one it was broken. You know, it is difficult to know. Anyway, first hit it was working, that is clear. So we say, even though our practice is not perfect, as long as you are practicing our way, that is enlightenment itself. That is how you cut the stone, how you become a Buddha. And for Buddha, you know, if he become a Buddha, you know, even though he become a Buddha, he cannot stay Buddha stage. He will naturally start to help others. And he will continue his practice forever. Knowing, because he knows human nature, and because he knows, you know, almost all the people does not know human nature so well, so he cannot trust their own true nature. And they will be confused. So for Buddha, he cannot help starting to practice with others. And he cannot help helping others. And in that way, you know, Buddha start again our practice, join our practice. He will practice with us always. So Buddha become a student, and the student eventually become a Buddha. And Buddha and we students is always one. That is the picture of our practice. To have this kind of relationship, between Buddha and you, or teacher and disciple, is very important. Or without this relationship, you know, Buddhism cannot survive or exist. Buddhism is not just moral code, or is not philosophy or story, you know. Buddhism is actual way to become human, for human beings to be human. So Buddha's teaching is how to be human being, human, and how to Buddha be Buddha. Although there are two names, human being, a sentient being, or Buddha, but actually, essentially, it is one. Who knows human nature is Buddha. Who do not know human nature through and through is sentient being. In ordination, when you join order, you will receive a robe which was designed by Buddha, and which was worn by Buddha. And to receive his love means to trust him. It is so important that to have Buddha that we, to encourage our way-seeking mind to be free from our doubt, to have strong faith in our way, or to encourage our way. We wear robe, which is set up by Buddha and used by Buddha. But nowadays it is a symbol of teaching, symbol of his precept, spirit. And it expressed by its color and by the material we use and size we decide, we express Buddha's teaching too. Not just symbol, but to understand teaching which is expressed in love is also necessary. So for us it is the teaching itself, and it is the Buddha's spirit itself, even though we cannot use it to protect us from cold or from hot weather. you may say, you know, recently, knowing that it may be difficult to understand, to accept Buddha's teaching, I am talking about it without any changing or without any modification. Between our superficial understanding of human nature and his deep understanding of human nature, there is big difference. It is quite natural for us to accept the teaching is difficult. For you, maybe difficult, and for us too, for us Japanese too. You may say Japanese people, Japanese culture is, you know, already 99% Buddhism, so it may be easy. But, you know,